We learned the first six psukim of Daf Torah. We're up to Pasuk Yud Beis, V'hoya Bayem Ahu. But before that, I had wanted to go back to a Gemara referred, which are connected to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Again, the first six psukim talked about the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dealings with Klal Yisrael and with the Umas Ha'Olam. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the nations of the world that in a manner of punishment when they deserve to be destroyed, and with Klal Yisrael with incremental punishments every time something happens. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says Bivaysh Kitzira Tishavarna. In reference to the nations of the world, it says Bivaysh Kitzira Tishavarna. When it's planting, its saplings dry up. Tishavarna, they are broken. Nashim bois mi'irai saisa, and women come and burn the wood. It's a mashal. We're comparing the nations, these nations, to ketzira, to a sapling or a tree, which is dried and destroyed and burnt, and it's gone. The Gemara says that the Gemara brings an incident where a non-Jewish queen sent 400 zuz to Rav Ami as a donation for the poor for poor Jews, and he refused to accept it. So she said, "Well, that's not like the Jews. I'll send it to Rava." And Rava accepted it. And Rav Ami called Rava in and criticized him. He said that we should not be accepting tzedakah from non-Jews because b'yavaysh ketzira tishavarna. When their schusim dry up, then they disappear. And we shouldn't be giving schusim to the Umas Ha'Olam. And Rava said, "I agree, but because of Chilul Hashem, I did it." Whatever exactly, he said, because the Malchus would be angry at the Jews, I did it. And, he gave out the money to non-Jewish, poor people. It's a very difficult thing because we understand that we're supposed to teach the nations of the world to pay properly. And giving tzedakah is something that even non-Jews are supposed to do, as we learn from Sadaim. And therefore, it's something that Mepharshim struggle with. Some say that it's an aspect of Chilul Hashem, that Goyim have to come on to Jews to be supported. Rav Cook is quoted as having held that you can take tzedakah from non-Jews, not from non-Jewish nations, not from the government. Gemara says that Daniel, when he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, to say Nebuchadnezzar would go through a difficult time, to put it mildly. Nebuchadnezzar would lose his mind and turn into an animal. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "How can I avoid it?" And Daniel told him, by giving tzedakah to poor Jews, which Nebuchadnezzar did for a while. And there too, Daniel is criticized in the same manner for helping Nebuchadnezzar. So it's a Gemara. Yivosh Ketzir Tishavarna. Shulchan Aruch brings limitations on what can be done with money donated by non-Jews. The Gemara says Rasa Rava did with the money, right? But a shul can definitely take money from non-Jews, the Gemara says, because in the Beis Hamikdash, non-Jews are allowed to bring karbanis. And a shul is like a Beis Hamikdash. Now, how that fits with the Yavosh Ketzir Tishavarna is very hard to understand.
My sister today, just the opposite. I've heard of issues that won't accept donations from non-Jews, but from the governments...
You're allowed to accept from the government. You're allowed to... It's only usur... if it's given specifically to non-Jews. If, let's say, somebody gives money to anybody who has certain criteria, so you can take it. Let's say you give for libraries. Even a foundation. It goes to all libraries, and the Jewish library applies as well. Then that's okay. It's only if it's targeting a Jew specifically. A government, certainly, you can take, because it's not targeted, it's not a grant targeted at Jews specifically. That's the difference.
Okay. Money and gave it towards the
bathrooms. They used the money towards the bathrooms. It's a big schluss to get money for bathrooms. Yeshivas need bathrooms.
He can give it to the yeshiva. What? Yeshiva has to use the bathroom. Yesh Brera.
Yesh Brera, okay. I mean, why is giving money for bathrooms not a schus? It's also a schus. Yeshivas need bathrooms. At any rate, that's the first six psukim of that Torah. Let's move on to Pasuk Yud Beis. V'hoya v'yayim ahu. It's a brand new nevuah. It's of course connected with the idea that the end of the non-Jews, the non-Jewish nations, the nations that oppressed us, is b'vayish k'tzir t'shavarna. And there's now a nevuah, one of the nevuahs of Yeshayahu regarding Achris Hayamim, and that's the next three psukim. V'hoya b'yayim ahu. V'hoya b'yayim ahu most often refers to the times of Mashiach. Yachbayit Hashem, God will trample. Yachbayit actually means to thresh. He will thresh the nations. Mishibaylas hanor anachal Mitzrayim, from the north, which is the Euphrates River. Shibaylas hanor, the flowing river. Anachal Mitzrayim, all the way down south till the Egyptian River. There's a difference of opinion in Parshas Maaseh if Nachal Mitzrayim is the Nile. Or Wadi Al-Arish, if it's the Nile River, which is actually in Egypt, or not. The difference there is that it says the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael go down to Nachal Mitzrayim. If it goes down to the Nile, then it's a big chiddush that it goes all the way down. When Sharon crossed the Suez, and took part of. Capture part of Egypt on the other side of the bank. So there are those who were talking about the Nevuah that Klal Yisrael would own that Nachal Mitzrayim until the Nile. Rashi holds us the Nile River. But be that as it may, this Nevuah says that Mashiach will come, Hashem will thresh our oppressors from the Euphrates to Nachal Mitzrayim, v'atem tuluktu le'echarecha b'nei Yisrael. And in the mashal of threshing, then you, the Jewish people, will gather the benefits of the threshing, as if one threshes and somebody gathers the wheat. Every once in a while, Yeshaya has a hard time thinking of psukim, so he just takes songs and incorporates the language into the Navi. On that day, Hashem will blow a great shofar, and those who are strayed in the lands of Assyria, which is to the north, and Yidochem Beretz Mitzrayim, and to the south, Yishtachvu L'Hashem Barakadosh B'Yerushalayim. Now the question is whether this is meant literally, whether Mashiach will blow a big shofar. Some sefer says Yitoka B'Shofar Gadol just does not mean that Mashiach is going to blow a shofar. It just means that the world will be aware of Mashiach's coming. The same thing whether Eretz Asher and Eretz Mitzrayim is literal. There are no Jews in Eretz Mitzrayim today.
And what's the point of the Nevuah? It doesn't tell you that after the something will happen. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can access encouraging you that you will end up good.
Well, point of the Nevuah is to complete the first half of the previous six psukim.
Yeah,
right?
No, they tell you something, tell you someday, but another Mashiach will come, will be gathered into something. What are we supposed to do with that?
Well, most people see it as a very optimistic idea. When people are oppressed, and you say, "Vayeh b'yom talk about Shofar Gadol," it's a reality of Mashiach's time. You know, the Torah doesn't mention it very famously. The Torah barely mentions Mashiach, only in one place. And, they also darshan Eretz Asher and Eretz Mitzrayim as meaning to come back from two types of galus. Asher is the galus of wealth. Oysher is a goddess of success, and
it's a
with the Aleph also it means success. Let's use the other way. And Eretz Mitzrayim is lashon of tsar or of poverty.
Yeshua.
Yeshuni b'banos. Okay. And Nidach and Beretz Mitzrayim, and that from both types of galus will come back. So it's, as I say, it's a beautiful nevuah regarding that day for which we all pray. So this is the end of the first part of the Aftira. Navi, the next pasuk in the Navi is actually Perek Chaf Ches. I don't mean the chapter number, which is done by the printers, but it's a totally new nevuah. So after this first part of the Haftarah, and certainly the idea of Nidach and Beretz Mitzrayim is appropriate for the haftarah of this week's parasha. Now it goes on to a message of something which is more of a mussar. The message of the first part of this, which is the idea of Klal Yisrael being oppressed, being incrementally punished, so that they can come to the day of the Geula, is something which has a connection of sorts. Certainly has a connection to this week's parasha. I'll share with you an idea that I heard on a recording from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner was coming to explain the Rambam. The Rambam says that somebody who's not Meitzar in the Tzaras of Shel Yisrael, someone doesn't feel along with the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael, the Rambam says even if he does no Averis at all, is considered to be a Parish Medaket Tzibor. He's somebody who is disconnecting himself from Klal Yisrael, and he wanted to explain why. We're Mechayiv a Mitzvah, so we keep all the Mitzvahs, and you're not Meitzar, it's a bad Nida. Why is it central to Klal Yisrael to be a Meitzar or part of the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael? So he said very beautifully regarding Klal Yisrael coming down to Mitzrayim in the beginning of Parashat Shemais. Well, he expressed it, I'm forgetting the Lashon, he expressed it with the Lashon that we have later, in the end of, at the end of the Torah, where it says that, that the nations of the world are equal to Mispar Yisrael. Which person am I thinking of? Well, anyway, the pasuk there says that the nations that were dispersed, that the great dispersal of the 70 nations are equal to the 70 people who come down to Mitzrayim, Kimisbar B'nai Yisrael. So he explained it very beautifully as follows. He said that Esav, we find earlier in Parashas Bereishis, Rashi brings us, when Esav separates from Yaakov and goes off to Har Seir, Rashi says that Esav said, I don't want the Shibur of Mitzrayim, the Shibur of the Goliath, and I'll settle for Har Seir and I won't take Eretz Yisrael. I'll settle for this and not that. So that the Galus is sort of an investment or a mortgage to be paid in order to own eventually the Zchari Yisraelim. Zchari Yisraelim. Binu Shnei Star V'dar. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us at the end of Chumash, remember the history of the world. Binu Shnei Star V'dar. Behadchil Elia and Goyim. Afrida V'neiam. Adam. Afrida V'neiam. Hashem scattered the 70 nations. That's it. Gvulos Ares. Hashem made 70 nations. Kemispar B'nei Yisrael. The 70 nations. He explained the following. That Klal Yisrael is a nation separate, in that Klal Yisrael sort of pays the mortgage to have the schus at the end. All the tzaras of the galus are a price. Esav said, it's not worth it for me. I don't want to have the difficulties of galus, and I'll pass on the avtocha of Eretz Yisrael. So that the tzaras that Klal Yisrael experience are what makes Klal Yisrael, the Ummah, distinct from the 70 nations. The 70 who went down are 70, and the nations are 70, as if to say that the Golus Mitzrayim is what makes Klal Yisrael distinct from the 70 nations. So the tzaras and the difficulty are the down payment for the Geula. He said that's the pshat in the Rambam, where the Rambam got from, that somebody who separates himself from the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, even if he keeps all the mitzvahs, is called a parish medaket tzibur. If you don't pay the mortgage, so to speak, so you don't own the house at the end. And the tzaras of the tzibur, those are the down payment. Anyway, I wanted to move on to the second half of the Haftarah. We only have a few minutes. The Kav Lakov Tzav Latzav, I wanted to touch. Let me tell you what it's about. Here, it starts with the handful of psukim that talk about Ephraim, the northern kingdom, and its destruction. As I told you, Yeshayahu is the Navi during the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and he's there during the destruction of Ephraim. Ephraim is destroyed. Hoy ateres geus, They're called people who wear a crown of gaiva, crown of haughtiness. Shikairei Ephraim, the people of Ephraim who get drunk. Vitzitz Neivel Tzvi Sefartai. And his crown is a withering flowers. Asher al Roish Geishamanim Halume Yayim, which they wear on their heads, Geishamanim, in a valley of fat people, Halume Yayim, that have too much wine. In other words, the complaint to Ephraim, to the ten nations, is that they indulge too much in the fats and the wine of Olam Hazeh. And because of that, that led them astray, and that led them into a bad place, into a difficulty. They strengthened themselves against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kizerem Barat Sa'ar Kotev, like a flow of hail or a storm, a wet storm, Kizerem Mayim Kabirim, like the flow of powerful water, Shaitvim, Hiniach La'aretz Biyad, and for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them, Raglayim Teremasa, they'll be trampled, Ateres Geyo Shikorei Ephraim. These people who have this crown of haughtiness, the drunkards of Ephraim, Voice Tzitzas Leivot Tzvi Sefartei, Asher Resh Geshmanim, and the aforementioned a withering flower, which is their crown, which is on the head of the in the valley of fat people, kibikura b'terem kayitz, it'll be like a fig that's not yet ripened before the summer, shira haraya isa ba'ida b'kapi yivlanu, which will be swallowed up. I'd rather than to run through psukim, I just would like, this is a nevuah regarding, as I said, the downfall of Ephraim. If you move on, you get to the pasuk tzav latzav, tzav latzav, which I think is something we notice. It's twice here in the Haftarah. And I'd like to translate it for you and explain what's happening in this pasuk. The nevuah, as I said, complains to the northern kingdom and foretells its destruction. And it says here, Esmi Yarede, Esmi Yavin Shmua, that when people are too involved in their physical pleasures, who are you going to teach? People are busy enjoying life, the fats of life, they're not going, there's nobody to teach. It's only the babies that you can hope to teach, because the people who are busy with their wealth are not, they're not in the base medrash at night. A very powerful pasuk. It means the following, that religious observance is supposed to be a way of life. Yiddishkeit is supposed to be a manner in which a person conducts himself, a way in which a person lives his life. To these people whose lives are involved totally in their physical pleasure and the things they want to have, the Torah turns into tzav lotzav, tzav lotzav, a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. Kav lakav, kav lakav. Kav is a loisase. Kav literally is a plumb line, something which is a guiding line, but it meant here to be a guiding line. Ze'er sham, a little here, a little there. It refers to religious observance, which is a hobby. It's something a person does. He can do all the mitzvahs. A mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. A loisase here, a loisase there. Ze'er sham, you know, a little tzedakah here, a little tzedakah there, a little learning there, a little learning there. But it's not a way of life. When it's not a way of life, that's the criticism of the Navi. The criticism of Navi Yeshaya is on people who have that type of an attitude. Then he repeats it, as you see a couple of psukim later, in his criticism. V'ayolahem devar Hashem tzav latzav, tzav latzav, kav lakav, kav lakav, zer sham, zer sham. Laman yelchu v'kashlu achar. And that type of life leads a person to stumble, fall backwards, and they end up being broken. They stumble and they're trapped. So it's just a very powerful lashon. I think in the whole of Torah, it's probably the most memorable words. Tzav letzav, tzav letzav kav. So at least this year you'll know what it means, if you can manage to retain it for the next 36 hours or so. It's a very powerful poetic lashon. I guess the rest of the Haftarah Torah will leave for maybe next year. Next year, I'm sure you will have remembered these psukim and the other psukim. Equally, the tables that are full of kitzaya, belimakim, Right, we'll get to that, Yitz Hashem. But again, the idea is the people are too involved in their gashmias and their table and their fats and their wine. That's Yishaya's criticism here.